Open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting at verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Are I only in Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this word we have in our hands and the wisdom that it gives us, the confidence we have in the instructions that you passed down to us. Give us wisdom today. Lord, touch our hearts and suit a blessing to each individual need in this room. And God, we just ask that you would get honor and glory from it. And we want to praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Different things they were questioning him about, and of course he had some problems. Any preacher is going to have some problems. Now there are a lot of people that think being a preacher has got sort of an easy job, but I guess in some cases it might be. You're not actually out laboring, you're not out digging ditches and some other things, different kinds of work. You dress in a suit and go to meetings and whatever, visit people, go to the hospitals or whatever. And yet, what you're going to find out, if you stand up and open your mouth and say anything, there's going to be somebody that's going to disagree with you. Somebody's going to get upset. And it's happened to me many times. And if you're going to be a preacher, you better have a thick skin. If you don't get a thick skin, you're going to have a miserable life. I mean, if you're going to let what people think of you, even your friends, if you're going to let what they think of you keep you awake at night, then bless your heart, you're going to stay awake most of the time. Anytime you open your mouth and take a stand for or against anything, it's going to displease some of the people in any congregation above 40 people and maybe 20 people. So it's just part of life. Now, Paul had some people here. They said, well, you're not an apostle. And he didn't run with Jesus like the disciples did. Excuse me. But he says he saw Jesus on the Damascus Road. He had a private interview, and he'd seen Jesus in the flesh as far as he was concerned. And so some people have said that he didn't have the same authority as some of the other apostles. And so this is just one of those things they brought up to him, and he's answering it as other things that we've seen him do from about chapter 7 on, some of the questions that some of the people in the church in Corinth had for him. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? There again, he's a Roman citizen. He has Roman citizenship. He's a free man. Remember those guys beat him up one night? And he said, wait a minute, you're going to come down here and take me out and apologize to me because I'm a Roman citizen. You don't do that. What a privilege. In his day, everybody here in America is free. But in that day, there was only a certain amount of people that had that Roman citizenship. Some of them got it. He was born free. But some of them, like a centurion he was talking to, he said, I bought this with a great price. He paid a big deal to become a free Roman citizen. So he said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? So there he is going back to his Damascus Road experience, and he's showing all of these signs of an apostle. And then he says, are not ye my work in the Lord? Now, that's one thing that preachers ought to be judged by their work. They ought to be judged by their work. You don't get respect just because you say you're a preacher. And people that are led to the Lord by you, are helped in their marriage by you, are helped to get rid of some of the problems that they're facing with by you, you've been counseled by them, you're their work in the Lord. So here these people, they're bad-mouthing him, giving him a hard time. We don't, your ministry's not that much. And he had some people criticizing him. He said, well, you're my work in the Lord. He started the church. Maybe led quite a few of these to the Lord. Maybe he led the guy to the Lord that led you to the Lord. Something like that. So that's what he's doing. He's defending himself. Are not ye my work in the Lord? Now, the Bible says over, I think it's in Timothy, that those that minister of the word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. You ought to pay them double. If somebody teaches you good doctrine from the word of God, and they spend their time teaching you the word of God, they're worth double honor, is what he said. And that's talking about honorarium. It's actually talking about money. And said, if somebody is spending their time doing this kind of a ministry, why then they ought to be paid by you. You say, well, maybe they make more money than you do. Well, that could be true. Every doctor I go see makes more money than I do. You know, he still takes my pay. In fact, they charge me pretty high. I got to looking on some of these bills, $400 or $500 an office visit. Some of these heart doctors, $400 to $500 an office visit. I'm not in there 20 minutes. That's pretty good money. That's about $1,000 an hour if you don't think of it that way. Man, it almost takes too much money to keep me alive. I must have to leave. Are not ye my work in the Lord? He can go back to that church and say, look, I started this. It was my own money that rented that first building down there. It was my that bought the signs that said out there we're going to have a meeting over here or whatever, you know. I bought the tracks. I bought the first chairs. My daddy actually bought the first chairs for this church. He bought me 25 folding chairs as my first offering when I decided to start this church. He just said, you need some chairs? I said, yes, sir. Well, he brought me 25. I still have a few of them. Amen. They're the pink ones. You don't get them if you pick up one around here. They're the old pink chairs. They're still going pretty good. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. Maybe some of these other people and maybe some new people or some people that have come in since my time, since I've been gone, would not recognize me as an apostle, but what about you? You're my work in the Lord. I started this work, so you ought to show me some respect. If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. He's saying, I'm showing you my fruit as a preacher. And my fruit as a preacher, I've been a blessing to certain people, and you know that. So what are you doing questioning me? So what he's doing is sort of defending himself. Because I want you to think about this. What we teach in the church, the way we practice in the church, comes from Paul. The writings of Paul. Jesus fulfilled his ministry as a Jew. When he dies on the cross of Calvary, he dies as a sacrificial lamb, the fulfillment of every blood sacrifice ever given. Since the Garden of Eden, all the way through all the Jewish law. Paul goes up to heaven, the third heaven, into the throne room of God, and God instructs him. He comes back and he writes all these epistles. And what we do in this church is because of what Paul wrote. And so he's saying, I may not be an apostle to somebody else, but I ought to be to you. Because I taught you what you're doing. I got you started. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Okay, see what he's doing, he's answering criticisms. Somebody been criticizing him and his work. Somebody coming in trying to undermine him. They want to go a different direction. Well, that happens all the time. Happens all the time. New pastor comes in and he doesn't like some of the things that you're doing, wants to do something different. Well, he has to undermine your authority. So that's what they're doing with Paul. And so Paul is answering them, and he says, have we not power to eat and to drink? Now what he's talking about here is receiving offerings and going about, somebody taking him out to eat or whatever. And he's been working. He hasn't been living off the offerings of the church and was not supported by them. So he's been making his own living. Now they got a lot of people like this. Out of I was a Southern Baptist pastor for 7 years, and then I was an Independent Baptist pastor about 7 years. Now Southern Baptist was the biggest when I was in it. I don't know the figures now, but it was the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, maybe the world. I'm not sure. But out of that, only 1/4 of Southern Baptist preachers were full-time preachers. 1/4, 1/4. 3/4 of all the pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention worked at another job to make their living and got a little offering. Probably didn't pay all their gas for visiting. I know mine didn't pay my gas for visiting many times. And they worked at another thing to preach the gospel. Many of the old preachers were farmers or carpenters or had some other profession, something that they did. And they preached on the side. Some of them were preachers, some of them were engineers. There was a brethren engineer, and he worked putting the South American Highway all the way down from Panama all the way down into, not highway, railroad. He was the one putting the railroad. Well, what they'd do with the railroad, they'd go into a town, they'd set up their base, and then they would go so many miles, 25 miles, 50 miles, or whatever, down there, and when they got the track laid that far, they'd move their base. Well, this engineer was a preacher of the gospel. He made his living by being an engineer for the railroad. And there were brethren chapels across South America, all the way down. Every place they stopped, he built a new church. So he didn't make his living by the offerings from the churches. No more than our missionaries we sent to Mexico. Now we supported them, but they'd go into a town, maybe stay there 4 or 5 years, and when they left, there's a congregation there. What are there, 23 of them now? Something like that. Across Mexico. And then they'd move on and go to another place. Well, they didn't get their living from the Mexican believers. They weren't supported by the Mexican believers. They were supported another way. So in many cases, the preachers, maybe the majority of preachers, down through history, have not lived full time from the church. But what he's saying here is, don't we have power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister or wife as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas or Peter? He said, Barnabas and I, don't we have the same rights? If others have this right over you, why not we? Why, since we started the work and set you up and we preach to you without charge, why then there ought to be double respect there. Not less respect. Should have been double respect. And so that's what he's talking to him about. He's been bad-mouthed by some people in this church. And he's been off starting other churches. And he's answering some questions here. And he's got some pretty good reasoning. Don't I have a right to get married and lead about a sister or wife? Doesn't Barnabas have that same right? Well, of course you do. He said, we didn't do that so that the gospel wouldn't be chargeable. We give it free. Are I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? And then he makes a good statement in verse 7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? You want the guys to sign up to go to the Navy, but we're not going to pay your way. We want you to get on a ship and do all these things, and we're not going to give you any money. That's not the way it works, is it? Right now we have a volunteer army, and they're paid better than any soldiers in American history. Still not paid as well as they should be, but that's the way a lot of things in life. But at any rate, they don't go to warfare at their own charges. The government buys their gun, buys their ammunition, gives them food, gives them clothes, gives them boots, pays them a certain amount each month, even enough that they can live pretty cheaply, but they can actually be married and live and survive with what they pay them. Who goeth to warfare at his own charges? So he's saying, these preachers that are preaching, they should be preaching in hope that they'd receive something back from it. Now, if they're generous enough to want to preach and do it for free for you, well, praise the Lord, you received a gift. But they're worthy of support. Amen. And those that are really good in the Word of God, those that really studied it and know it and can make it plain to you, they're worth double.
That's right.
You know how important doctrine is?
Amen.
You know, the problem with most Christians, they don't value doctrine. That's the truth. They go to a church by the things that a church offers.